Say that. That don't bless you. Your wood's wet. Amen? Well, that's good. All right. I think if your wood was wet, it might spark something. Don't you think, Brother Vernon? Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Could not get away from this passage of Scripture. One of my favorite thoughts in the Bible of God's care, God's working in the lives of His people. This morning, we talked about and we understood God's working in our lives from the viewpoint of a sheep. Tonight, we're going to change kinds, so to speak, of God's creatures. Tonight, we're going to look at an eagle. And God's working in our lives through the eyes and the working of an eagle. Look, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and verse number 11. Deuteronomy is a sermon preached by Moses. It's called the regiving of the law, but yet it's much more than that. It's Moses with a new generation of Israelites. An entire generation of Israelites have died. They have been under the judgment and the chastening hand of God for 40 years, wandering in the wilderness because of their unbelief. And now their new generation of Israelites have risen up. They're standing on the threshold of Canaan. They're about ready to enter the land. They're about ready to possess their possessions, to take that God had for them. And through that, Moses is challenging them about their life in the land and following the precepts and the principles and the laws of God and how well it would be with them. And then begins to rehearse to them God's working in their lives during that past 40 years. And he begins to talk, and he talks to them about the honey and about the rock, and how later he'll talk about them drawing honey from the rock, and how that their rock, the world's rock's not like our rock, and all of that. But then he draws their attention to an eagle. Look, if you would, Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord." I underlined that phrase. I had just read through and studied through the book of Deuteronomy back in the spring again, and I'd underlined in my Bible, "As an eagle," verse 11, "so the Lord. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them." Look at verse 13. "He made them ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields." And watch this. "And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock." And then he goes down and begins to rehearse the blessings of God. I just want to say God's good, isn't he? And he's that way all the time in our lives. And he's talking about the goodness of God and his working. And you know what? Everything that God had done wasn't easy, but it was good. And everything God does in your life and my life isn't always easy, all right? But it's always good. And we're going to learn some things tonight as it relates to an eagle and God's working in our lives. Let's pray together and then we'll look at these passages tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. God, I'm so glad that you bear us on eagle's wings. Lord, that you enable us to go through life. And God, in that, you work in us and you fashion us and you develop us to make us what you'd have us to be. Lord, every individual that's saved here tonight is raised up for such a time as this. God, there are generations of Christians who have went on before us and Lord, they've made an impact in the world. They've been your salt, your light. God, you use them to impact their generation for Christ. Lord, if you don't come, there'll be generations that come after us. But Lord, this is our time. This is the time that you want us to impact our world for Jesus Christ. Lord, and you're developing us. You're working in every individual life. Tonight, give us insight and understanding in what you're doing that we might, Lord, respond to you and become what you'd have us to be, that you might use us in the way you desire to bring about your results in the world today. We're sure going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, of all God's winged creatures, the eagle is in a class all to itself. There's nothing like it. I never get used or over seeing an eagle soaring through the sky, whether it's been out on a lake and watch it come up going through the Yellowstone National Park, whether it was going through Yosemite National Park, several places, and almost almost without fail, it's breathtaking as I've seen golden eagles and bald eagles and different types of eagles begin to soar through the air, and you just see the majesty of that winged creature, and it just moves you. It's an image that the image of the eagle has been, down through the centuries, has been reproduced on coins and emblems and seals and flags. Towns and villages and lakes and even mountains bear the name Eagle Lake, Eagle Mountain, and they name it after the eagle. The eagle's an international symbol of strength and authority and majesty. Here in our own land, many a Native American would carry a single eagle feather in their hair into battle because they believed that it would somehow endow that warrior with bravery and strength. Our own country adopted the bald eagle as our national emblem in April of 1782, symbolizing the majesty and the freedom that our forefathers envisioned for this new nation. Eagles live to a ripe old age. Not uncommon for eagles to live up into their 50s, and it's they were a symbol of longevity. And you know, the desire of our forefathers for our nation to have longevity and to be what it should be, and what God, I believe, formed our nation to become. Imprinted on the back of our coins, it's the eagle, the great seal of the United States, bears the emblem of a bald eagle with outstretched wings. On its breast is a shield with 13 red and white perpendicular stripes, surmounted by a field of blue, again bearing 13 stars of the original colonies. In its right talon is an olive branch. In its left talon, a bundle of 13 arrows. That eagle was saying, "We'll give you peace if you want it, but if not, we'll bring you war," if that's what it's going to take to bring the safety and the protection and the greatness of our nation and bring peace to peoples in the earth. In its beak, it carries a scroll inscribed with the motto, "E pluribus unum," a Latin phrase meaning "one out of many." When you come to the Bible, an eagle is mentioned over 30 times in the Bible. It's interesting, there are 59 different species of eagles that have been identified. They're on every continent of our globe except Antarctica. I think the only thing there is a penguin, but anyway. I haven't seen us compared to anything there in the Bible yet. But anyway, the eagle is mentioned 30 times in the Bible. In the Middle East, probably Moses, the most common eagle was the golden eagle and the imperial eagle. And that was the eagle that Moses would probably have seen. An eagle's first mentioned in Leviticus 11:13. The last time it's mentioned is in Revelation 12 in verse number 14. Here we find the eagle mentioned in its most extensive passage in the Bible. It's an interesting, as God draws some parallels as to an eagle with its young and God working in our lives during that 40 year of wandering in the wilderness. No doubt, even the 40 years prior to that, when Moses was in the wilderness leading the sheep and then the nation of Israel, no doubt he had many sojourns. Walking along the slopes of rugged Mount Sinai and probably looking down from some lofty crag, became fascinated by the ways of an eagle with her young, and then began to draw spiritual insights from the Holy Spirit into the wisdom and the ways and the workings of God with His people. And here the Holy Spirit moves Moses to write, "As an eagle, so the Lord." It's interesting that an eagle in the Bible is symbolic of deity. As you study, you're going to find that you're going to have that in the visions of Ezekiel and John, you'll have a cherub that will bear the faces of the creatures of God, of creation. It will have a face like a lion, a face like an ox, a face like a man, and a face like an eagle. All manifestations of life proceeding from God. You know, every one of them a picture of the Lord Jesus. I'm amazed. amazed at how beautiful the analogy is. And yet I read commentator after commentator that doesn't believe that's why God did it. But it sure makes sense to me. I'm just going to believe He did. Because the lion pictures Jesus as the King of Israel. Hey, He's not just the King of Israel, friend. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He's the King of me. I trust He's your King tonight. I don't believe anything's in the Bible by accident, do you? The ox there on the face of that cherub, symbolic of Jesus as the suffering servant of Jehovah. He came down to do the Father's will. He would say, I do always those things that please Him. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. When you come to the face of the man in that cherub, I believe it pictures Luke's gospel. Jesus is the Son of Man, linking Him to the earth. Friend, He had to become man in order to die. But then you come to that final face, the face of the eagle, and there is John's gospel that begins to take us to lofty heights. It's there that John takes seven I am statements, seven wonderful miracles to present to us that Jesus Christ is none other than the eternal Son of the living God, that He's the only begotten Son of God. It links Him to heaven. Friend, listen, I believe it pictures to Him His deity. Jesus had to be a man in order to die. But friend, He had to be God in order to make that sacrifice and the substitutionary death effective for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever live. Moses relates the truths of the eagle here to the nation of Israel, and I believe we're going to draw some applications for our own lives tonight. First of all, I want you to see the eagle cares for her young. The eagle cares for her young. Notice the Bible said, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young. I want to draw your attention, first of all, to the word fluttereth. It literally means to brood over, and we're going to come back to it in a moment, but it means to brood over, brooding over her young, and I believe that the first thing Moses notices is the relationship of the eagle to her young. She's related to them. She gave birth to them. They're her offspring. You know, I'm glad to say tonight that as the saved, the people of God, we are the offspring of God, aren't we? We have the life of God living in us tonight. Hey, I'm going to live as long as God lives because I have His life in me. And God has only one kind of life, and it's everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? We find that we have within us the very life of God. The Bible says in Galatians 4:6, and because you're sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You know, what a wonderful statement. Abba, meaning Papa. Papa. It's a term of endearment. Friend, listen, I'm so glad that, and I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go up and call God a heavenly Papa. But do you know that's the picture that He's saying? He's saying to us the closeness of relationship, the bond that I have with you as a father is that of nurturing and love and gentle and caring. But yet at the same time, I can bring some tough love into the picture too. Abba, Father. Aren't you glad tonight He's your Father? Isn't that a blessing? Well, if you're saved tonight, God is your Father. And He's not the Father of everybody, only those who are saved. Now, it's interesting that an eagle's nest is about 9 foot in diameter. It grows. It continues to grow. I read about the largest eagle nest ever recorded, and it was unbelievable, weighing thousands of pounds. It was monstrous. But on average, they're about 9 foot. Now, do you know once a mother eagle and a father eagle build a nest that they can they don't tear it up and build a new one every year. They just add to it and stretch it out, and it gets larger and larger and larger. A mother eagle will lay 1 to 3 eggs, and they'll hatch in about 35 days. Little eaglets will be in that nest, and you know what the interesting thing is? The way God made them is those eggs will hatch in the order in which they're laid. But once those eaglets are hatched, that mother's care. Now, but prior to in that incubation period, both mother and father eagle would set on that nest. But then once the eaglets arrive, that mother would begin to give constant and uninterrupted attention to her young. And friend, let me just tell you something. I believe it speaks to us of the care of God in our lives. Do you realize that once I belong to Him, the Bible said His eye is on the righteous. Friend, listen, He never diverts His attention for you. His eye is always on you. He loves you. He cares about you. He's interested in you. And He's at work in your life tonight. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father cares for us? Isn't that good? God, I love that. God cares for you. I'm glad God cares for me. I don't always feel like He cares for me, but the reality of it is, friend, it doesn't matter what I feel. The fact is that God says that He's eyes upon me, that He's constantly at work in my life. It is God which worketh in you, Paul says. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God is at work in my life. And He cares for me. It is a perpetual care. It's ongoing. It's protective care. That mother eagle will fight off anything that would try to climb up and get to that nest and eat her young. Matter of fact, she's constantly protecting them. And I want to just tell you tonight, I'm thankful for the protection of God. I am. I'm thankful that God protected me and watched over me before I got saved. He allowed me to get saved as a teenager, and God's cared for me ever since. And friend, He's going to care for you and me throughout eternity. Our God cares for us. Friend, listen, we see God's care, but then secondly, we see God's training. Not only does that mother care for her young, she trains her young. I want you to notice that if you look up in verse number 10, notice the Bible says that talking about Israel, He found him in a desert land in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. Watch this. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Now you know what? I don't like anybody sticking their finger in my eye. What about you? There's something about somebody just stick that. You know, when I was growing up, now that's something my dad and I both enjoyed. We'd watch the Three Stooges, Harry, Larry, and Moe. How many know what I'm talking about? The old ones. I'm talking about the new stuff. I'm talking about the old stuff. I'm talking about the good stuff. You know? I'll tell you, that stuff was hilarious. You know? I mean, bonking each other on the head, slapping each other. But boy, my favorite thing was that when old Moe would do something, or Curly, you know, would do something, and about that time, no, it wasn't. It was, yeah, and then Larry, he'd take his fingers and go just like that, you know, right in their eyeballs, you know, and stick them in eyeballs and stuff like that. And I thought it was funny. But you know what? You stick yourself in the eye. Something sticks in your eye. Boy, it's irritating. And God said, listen, let me tell you something. You're the apple of my eye. Not only am I eye on you, but God said when something hurts you, it hurts me. Amen. Something affects you, it affects me. Good. Sensitive to it. Yeah. Then we see the training. You know, there's a special interest that mother has in those little eaglets to develop them into full-grown eagles. You know what? God has a special interest in you. Because He desires to mature you and develop you into the man, the woman, the young person that God desires for you to be. I remind you, the Bible said it's God that worketh in you. But not only is there a special interest that God is concerned about our spiritual development, Paul said that he would travail in birth till Christ be formed in those people. It's God's desire that Christ be formed in us, that we become less and less of who and what we are by nature and more of what we should be in Him. You call it sanctification, call it growing in grace, call it whatever you want to. God calls it making you like Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal of all of it. To make us what He wants us to be. And not only is God interested in that, and matter of fact, God's more interested in that than we are, there is His involvement in our lives. God is actively involved in our life, just like an eagle is to her young. Do you know what? An eagle, a mother eagle, will train her little ones to fly. You know what God's doing? He's teaching us how to live. That's what He's doing. Notice the process here. First of all, she will disturb her young. Look at verse 11. The Bible said, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, so the Lord. You know, up to this point, that little eagle's had a pretty good life. Mama has done everything. Fed it. I mean, all it's had to do is lay back there in that nest and wait on, you know, open that mouth and mama just dropped that fish in there, that scrap of meat or whatever it's found. She's made a nest, you know, and of course there's sticks in there and all kinds of stuff like that. But boy, in the inner part of that nest, she's found soft cloth and different things to pad it. Maybe some moss and different kinds of grasses to pad that nest and make it comfortable. And it was cozy and those little eagles would just sort of snuggle up to each other and they'd eat and sleep. And life was good. But you know what? It didn't stay that way. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a time that mama's going to stir them up. It's the idea of waking them out of their slumber. It's time for them to take the next step in life. And so she stirs up that nest. It's interesting. You think about it. Those little eaglets, I mean, if we was to talk to them, they're probably perfectly content to stay right where they are. stay right there in that nest. Mama take care of them, do everything for them, feed them, protect them, care for them. All they got to do is eat and sleep and be warm. But that mother bird realizes that for them to stay in the nest would keep them from being what they were designed to be. It would keep them from becoming what they were desired to be. And so at the proper time, she begins to stir up that nest. She'll scatter the sticks. She'll pull all that soft stuff out of the nest, and she'll throw it out of the nest and stir it all up. And those sticks will be bare, and they'll start poking them, those little birds, and they're having to stand up. You know why? It's strengthening those talons. It's strengthening what they're going to need to be able to grab food or to fight against a predator or whatever it was. And so she's making them stand up on those talons. They wouldn't do it on their own. You know what? There's a lot of things you and I wouldn't do on our own if God didn't stir up our nest and get us out of our comfort zone. And so she stirs up the nest, and then you know what she does? She begins to take her beak and she begins to scream at those birds and those little eaglets, and she pushes them out of the nest. She makes them get out of it. She's saying, get out. You know, I can hear them saying, Mama, what are you doing? Why in the world are you pushing us out of the nest? We like the nest. We enjoy the nest. We want to stay here. And she's saying, oh no, you can't stay there. And she pushes them out of that nest and onto the top of that precipice or whatever it is that she's built that nest on. And she's pushing them out. And you know what God's going to do in your life at some point? He'll push you out of your comfort zone. She knows that unless the lives of her young are disturbed, they'll never learn the lessons at hand. Every person in this room, I don't care how long you've been saved, friend, they'll tell you, you'll learn much more in the valleys and the difficult times of life than you ever will on the mountaintop in the good times of life. She knows that unless she pushes them over that cliff, that they'll never learn to fly. They'll never have the courage to do it on their own. There's a few times I feel like God's pushed me over the cliff. I don't have anything to hang on to but God. God's going to teach you that there's nothing in life that you can depend on, Christian, but Him. Bible college student, I just want to challenge you. As you enter this year, to understand, and of course it's true for every one of us, that when you enter into a Bible college, the training doesn't just happen on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays when you're sitting in that classroom. God's training you all the time, and some of the best lessons you're going to learn is the things that you have to pray through in your life and struggle through as God develops you into the man or the young woman He wants you to be to serve Him, or the servant of God He wants you to be, because not everybody in our college is 18, 19, 20 years old. Let me just tell you, anytime God calls you, that's when you need to prepare at whatever age it is. Amen? But God's going to teach you some things. He's going to get you out of your comfort zone. He's going to force you to do what you'd never do on your own. You see, we're little spiritual eagles, and God's plan is for us to soar in the heavenlies. And the only way we can soar in the heavenlies is for God to stir up our nest. God forever stirs up the nest of His children. He disturbs us. He gets our attention. Try to get us out of our spiritual slumber, to get us out of the ruts of mediocrity, to become satisfied with the status quo. There's too many churches, there's too many Christians that are satisfied. They're just willing to stay in the nest and really don't desire anything more. And God, listen, God's not content to let us stay there. He's going to continue to work and stir to get us where He wants us to be. Listen, there ought to be a holy dissatisfaction in every Christian's heart of where we are, and a greater desire to be more of where God wants us to be. Wouldn't you agree with that? God knows for us to remain in the nest and stay where we are is to hinder our future development, to keep us from ever becoming what He desires us to be. Israel would never have left Egypt for the promised land if God had not sent a Moses to stir up the nest and upset their lives and get them out of their comfort zone. And so God seeks to disturb us and upset our lives, the tranquility, and hurl us from the place maybe that we're comfortable in to get us out there to where He knows we need to be. And you said, wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. You talked to me this morning about the rest of God, and now you're telling me that God wants to stir me up. Which is it? Well, it's both. That's the paradox of the Christian life. The same God that gives you rest is the same God that will stir up your life, kick you out of the nest, so to speak, of your comfort zone, to put you in a place to where you can develop and be what God wants you to be, and you can know more of Him. But through it all, friend, there's His peace and His comfort and His care in your life. And I can have rest during even the adversities of life. There's no other way that we'll learn the lessons at hand unless God forces us what we'd never do on our own. You know, God will continue to tug on your heart till you tell somebody about His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what? Every Christian knows they need to witness, but do you know that 60% of Christians on a regular basis never witness? We all know that we ought to be handing out a tract, but the majority of Christians never have one on them to ever give it to anybody. You know what? Sometimes maybe getting out of your comfort zone is handing out your very first tract. Maybe for you, getting out of your comfort zone is going to be a part of Friend Day outreach and saturation. We're going to seek in about a 3-week period and knock 10,000 doors. Maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone and let us show you how you can go out and make a difference. I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I don't know how it's going to be, and what if somebody mistreats me? And let me ask you a question. Did they mistreat him? I sure won't be ashamed of him. He wasn't ashamed of me. And the worst thing anybody's going to do to you is slam the door or tell you, I don't want that, or you take that and give it to somebody else, or get off my yard. That's the worst probably going to happen to you. Nobody's going to go to jail. Nobody's going to be arrested, I don't think. If you do what we tell you to do, that ain't going to happen. It wouldn't happen anyway here in our area. But you know what? Most people's going to thank you for it. Most people, oh, we've been expecting this. It's Friend Day time at Calvary. I mean, it's nothing new. We've been doing it for years and years and years and years, impacting. There was a couple sitting right here on Sunday morning that we had knocked on their door 4 years on Friend Day before they came the very first time. Now they're members of Calvary Baptist Church. You just stay at it and stay at it. But maybe getting out of your comfort zone is getting on visitation, or maybe singing in the choir, or making yourself available for the bus ministry, or making yourself available for a prayer ministry or RU ministry or whatever it is, or maybe going to the jail, maybe a number of things. But let God stir you. God's going to stir you and move you. Let God work in your life and make you what He wants you to be. Wherever God leads us, He'll enable us. Amen. Notice, not only does she disturb them, but she assures them. There's that word fluttereth again. It means to brood or to hover over, to protect. After that nest is sort of torn up and those birds are ruthlessly pushed out onto the cliff, you know what she does next? She pushes them over the cliff. Yet even as they are frantically flapping and falling through the air, she's hovering within inches. At a moment's notice, she'll rush in and grab that little bird on her shoulders and bear him right back up to that cliff. Her nearness assures that little bird of her comfort. She's not abandoned it. Oh, she may have been the one to push it over the cliff, but she's still there. It's safe. Everything's all right. She's there to protect and to rescue. And boy, what comfort knowing that mother eagle was there. Her love for that child, for that little eagle, hadn't stopped. Matter of fact, her pushing it over the cliff was an act of love, because that eaglet would never become a full-grown eagle. It'd never become and do what an eagle was designed to do if she didn't love it enough to push it over the cliff. And in her wisdom, that little eaglet may not understand everything that was going on, but know that everything was for its good. Because to hunt for food, that talon had to be strong to soar in the heavens. Those wings had to be developed as an eagle. So the Lord, do you realize that when we're in the midst of trouble, or God stirs up our nest, or you feel like He's pushed you over the cliff, I just want to tell you, He's there. He assures you of His comfort. Although our troubles may suggest that He's abandoned us, He's near and we are safe. We've preached this and preached this and preached this to remind us that He's nigh to them of a broken heart. During those difficult times of life, we are safe in the hands of the Savior. Friend, He is never far from us. He is there. He is able. He comforts us and helps us during those times. He assures us of His love. You know what Jude says? Keep yourself in the love of God. Do you know that when times get hard, sometimes we wonder if God... I mean, boy, things are going good for that Christian over there on the other side of the church. Look what I'm going through. God must love them more than He loves me. You know, God doesn't love one child more than He loves another child. He loves them all the same. But God just knows that maybe, you know, I don't know why some preachers and some Christians go through more difficult times than others. I don't have the answer for that. But here's what I do know. I do know that sometimes I'm hard-headed, and so God's got to put me through some things to get my attention and to keep me focused and do the hard things in my life to help me be what He wants me to be. But you know what? He never stops loving me. Christian, when we keep ourselves in the love of God, that's to continually remind ourselves that even though we hurt, God still loves me. And it's never wavered. It's never been a time that God stopped loving me. No, what God's doing in my life is a part of His love for my life, because He knows this is what it's going to take to make me like Jesus Christ. And then He assures us of our wisdom, that although we may not understand everything that's going on, we know it's for our good. That God knows what He's doing in our lives. God hasn't promised us that He would keep us from the storms, but He did tell us He would keep us in the storms. Amen? We can safely trust in Him. Can I give you some verses to jot down? Psalm 17, verse 8, "Hide me under the shadow of Thy wings." Now, I know that there's a lot of people there that talk about those being the wings of a hen and her chicks, and that's fine. I like to think of the wings of an eagle, though. That's a whole lot more shade and shadow. What about you? A lot more protection there. The shadow of Thy wing. I don't think that, and I think there's a really good analogy with the hen and the chicks and all of that, but I like the eagle and her eaglets as well. Psalm 36, verse 7, "The children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings." Psalm 57, verse 1, here's another. "Yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Psalm 91, verse 4, "He shall cover thee with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust." Aren't you glad that we're under His wings? That God, under the shadow of them, it's a picture of protection. It's a picture of safety. It's a picture of refuge. I'm glad that the righteous can run to Him and we're safe. But not only does she disturb them, not only does she assure them, but I want you to notice that she inspires them. Look at verse 11 again. The Bible said she stirs up her nest. She fluttereth over her young. She spreadeth abroad her wings. You know what flying lessons take place? First thing Mama Eagle will do is while them eaglets are there on that cliff, and maybe even while they're in the nest as she's getting ready to stir it up, there'll be some times that she'll actually stop feeding them for several days. She's wanting them to experience hunger and the need to search for food, and they'll start, those hungry eaglets, they'll start digging around in that nest for any scraps they might have. She's teaching them to hunt for food, to begin life on their own. And then all the while that maybe she's not day in and day out bringing food like she was before, those two eagles, that mother eagle and father, they're soaring in the heavens above them, and those little eagles are looking up there at them. Wow. Boy, I wish I could do that. What they didn't know is they're going to do that. They just didn't know it yet. There's times when we look at Christians that have been saved for maybe a number of years and we think, boy, I wished I could do that. God's saying, just hold on. You're getting ready to. You're getting ready to be strong in the storm. You're getting ready to be developed and matured to be what I want you to be. But she's inspiring them by soaring above them. And then the flying lessons, they're on that little cliff there, and that mother eagle will take her big wings and she'll begin to spread them like this and flap them. She'll begin doing that. And those little eagles looking at their mother eagle, they'll mimic that. She's inspiring them. They'll start taking their little wings and start doing that with theirs, sort of like what mama eagle's doing. She's giving them some lessons. You have to flap those wings. You have to spread those things abroad. You need to get those out there so that you can catch the draft and learn to soar. And so she's up there teaching them. And then once they've got those muscle, whatever it is, they've done this part right here and stretched them out and got them going. Boy, it's time to go over the cliff. So by the time they've got that down, boy, they think they're doing good. They're walking around, they're squawking, you know. Boy, look at me, look at me. Hey, Junior, look at me. Next thing you know, she says, "Woo, there you go." They're flapping and flailing and, you know, flailing through the air. And then about that time, she comes right under them. Notice the Bible says, look at verse number 11, "taketh them," that's the idea of snatching them out of the air, and beareth them on her wings. Boy, they think they're about ready to hit the ground. And boy, right now, that's why I don't jump out of airplanes with a parachute. If you want to do that, you have at it. Not me. I value my wife's husband more than that. Brother Vernon, there's no eagle going to come under me and swoop if that thing don't open up, all right? And I don't trust it, okay? I'm just not there yet. Now, you might. You have at it. That's not going to be me. You know, I'm just not going to be the one that wants to see the ground coming up real close. You know what I'm saying? It's just not going to be me. But I can imagine that eagle just flying out, the ground getting closer and closer, and about that time, that mother eagle just swoops under him. She lands right on that little eagle, lands on it back. She just right up there to the top of that mountain. And that eagle jumps off, you know. Then next thing you know, boy, the next one goes off and she does it over. And you know what? That cycle's repeated again and again and again and again until suddenly that little eagle's wings goes out and it flaps and it catches the draft. And next thing you know, that eagle's flying around with mama doing what that eagle was designed and created to do. But mama knows that if she never pushed it over the cliff, it'd never be what it was supposed to be. As we endeavor to follow the Lord and carry out of His plan and purposes for our lives, there's times that God's going to push us over the cliff. But He's always there to catch us and set us back up there again, only to repeat the cycle over and over again until we learn to trust Him, until we learn to soar. By the way, God doesn't want us to soar by sight. He wants us to fly by faith, doesn't He? I don't have to understand everything God's doing in my life. I just need to trust what He's doing in my life that He knows best. And to respond to Him and let Him have His way in my life. Because it's there that I'm going to learn to soar. I love Psalm 37 verses 23 and 24. You know, we may stumble and fail and falter, but we'll never be utterly cast down. Because the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His right hand. He beareth us on His wings. So she, watch this, cares for her young. She trains her young as she disturbs them and assures them and inspires them and protects them. But then she blesses her young. She bears them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, made them to ride. Look at verse 13, on the high places of the earth. That means they're now soaring. It's only through this process that their wings are developed and strengthened so these little eaglets can know the blessedness of flight. And it's only through a similar process that God's children are developed and strengthened that we might learn the blessedness of living our lives for Him. I want you to look at a couple verses, all right? Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. We can almost quote it by heart, but I want you to look at it. And then we're going to look at one more verse in Ezekiel, and we're going to be done tonight, okay? Here's another generation of Israelites that are going to be making their way back from the Babylonian captivity, and they're going to return to the land. And Isaiah is going to tell them, you know what, as you pass through the fire, it's not going to burn you, and you go through the floods, and it's not going to drown you. God's going to see you through to the other side. And then He tells them something in verse 31 of Isaiah 40. You may not know what God's doing in your life tonight. You may feel like you've just been pushed over the cliff. You may feel like you're free falling, tumbling, flapping, squawking, wondering if you're going to hit bottom. I'm just there. He's there to catch you. He'll take you back to the mountaintop. The valley's not going to last forever. One of the great phrases of the Bible is, it came to pass. Isn't that a good one? Look at verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That means we're starting to soar. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I want to draw your attention. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You see, those little eagles were doing what they were designed to do. And you know what? God is developing us to make us into what we should be so that we can do what we're designed to do and designed to be. There's three thoughts I want to give you, and I'm going to be done. Number one, we mount up with wings as eagles because He teaches us to master the storms. If you ever watched an eagle's wings in a storm, it seems like that they beat back the wind. It's like they go against it. They master it. They travel with it. That's what He meant by they soared to heights in an excellency of strength. Eagles can fly up to 50 miles per hour, but in storms they've been clocked at speeds of in excess of 100 miles per hour as those great wings take the draft of those winds and begin to push them, and they glide through that storm. And friend, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you in the storms of life to mount up with a wing of eagles. He wants you to trust Him and know that you can master the storms. You don't have to be a victim. You can be a victor. You don't have to be overcome. You can be an overcomer. And listen, faith is the victory tonight. Amen? And then to beat back the foe. Those great wings and the strength and the power in them will beat back the predators that would harm the little ones. Or if there was a cougar or something that would attack that eagle while it was maybe eating its prey there on the ground, and it would try to jump on it, those big wings would flap and beat back that predator that would harm it. And friend, listen, we've got some enemies called the world, the flesh, and the devil, and God's wanting to develop us spiritually so that we can battle back against the foe. Hey, listen, God never tells me to flee from the devil. He tells me to resist him steadfast in the faith. He's the one who's to do the fleeing tonight. I don't have to give in to my flesh. I don't have to let sin have the mastery in my life. Friend, listen, we can beat back the enemy tonight. Amen? Let's be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And then to soar the heights of heaven. God wants you to soar with Him. It's through that process that God enables us to reach greater heights in our walk with Him. I'm going to let you look at one more verse and we're done. Turn back to Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4. Exodus chapter 19 and verse number 4. You see, God's got a whole different process than that mother eagle. There's going to come a day that little eagle will be weaned and may never see its mother again. It'll go off to do whatever an eagle's supposed to do. But that's not what God's process is. When you look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, He says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto Myself." Can I tell you, everything that God's doing in your life is to put you on eagle's wings and bring you to Him. Because He wants you to know Him. And He wants you to love Him. And He wants you to soar with Him and fellowship with Him. Because we were designed, now listen to this, we were designed for Him. God created us for Him. That we might know Him. And love Him and fellowship with Him. We see that in the very opening chapters of the Bible as God would come down in the cool of the day and He would walk with Adam and Eve. And He would fellowship with them. Just wanting to be with them. And let me just tell you something. Your God wants to be with you. And all the trials, all the heartaches, all the heartbreaks, all the things that we go through, God is using those things to continue to bring us to Him that we might know Him better, love Him more, and our fellowship would be even sweeter. Let God work in your life. You may not understand it. You may be resisting it. You might be sort of like that little eagle that's squawking and trying to get away from what that mother bird wants to do. But maybe tonight what you need to do is just submit to the process because God's got a plan. And it's all designed to bring you to Him. Because it's all about Him. Amen. And maybe tonight you just need to slip forward and say, "God, I don't understand what You're doing. And I don't grasp everything. But I just want to soar with You. I just want to fellowship with You. I just want You to bring me to You. I just want what You want in my life. I know you're going to assure me. I know you're going to comfort me. I know you're going to protect me. I know you're going to provide for me. I know you're going to be there because you're faithful, just like that mother is to her young. God will not fail us. He will not. And I invite you to come to Him tonight. I want you to soar with Him. You know? I want to know His best. I want to enjoy His presence. God has a plan. Let's let Him work. It's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And what pleases Him will always be pleasing to you in the outcome. Let's bow our heads in prayer.